Good afternoon. This is the Midday News for today, Friday, June 30. I am Kimberly Benjamin. In the headlines, DPSU concerned that some of its members' requests are still and not yet agreed by the DLP government. Antigua Cabinet notes ECSC judgment on extradition of former financial regulator Leroy King to the U.S. And Simone Veil, a French politician, women's rights champion, and Holocaust survivor, has died at the age of 89. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited and Fast Cash. The details after this.
Courts BOGO is back and better than ever. Shop on Tuesday the 27th to Thursday the 29th of June. Buy one, get one 50% off. Plus, you're still paying nothing till next term, 2017. Don't miss out. Buy one, get one 50% off. Second item must be of equal or lesser value. Offer valid till Thursday the 29th of June. On cash and credit purchases, it's BOGO on now. At Courts, terms and conditions apply. See in-store for details. Courts, bringing value home.
I need a fast cash to get me started, cause I wanna get ahead in life. When times get rough, you don't have to be tough. Fast cash will make it right. Fast cash.
Get the cash advance you need.
Fast cash.
In just 2 hours.
Fast cash.
Up to $8,000 can be yours.
Fast cash. I need fast cash to get me started, cause I wanna get ahead in life. No matter what the problem, fast cash can solve it. Fast cash will make it right. Fast cash.
Fast cash. Your money, your way.
More rainfall is expected into this weekend as a westward moving tropical wave located in the tropical Atlantic is expected to generate an increase in cloudiness and shower activity across the area by late Saturday into Sunday. That's according to a weather forecast from the Dominica Met Service. Meanwhile, low-level cloud patches moving westward are expected to produce cloudiness and scattered showers across parts of the islands today. This will be followed by a gradual drying out of the atmosphere as a high-pressure system will begin to establish itself across the area. Some concerns expressed by DPSU members relating to ongoing salary negotiations of the government have still not yet been ironed out. As according to General Secretary of the DPSU, Thomas Leita. Leita says following a meeting with the government's negotiating team this week, they were informed that their requests have not been approved. He says the union is still hoping to hold discussions on these matters, which include a contribution from government on the monthly premium of members participating in the union's medical group insurance.
The issue of the 2 months, that is the one-off payment of equivalent to 2 months' pay, 2 months' salary. This we want to be tax exempt. Number two is the contribution to the premium of members who are also who are participating in our group medical insurance. Whatever contribution that they make will work out to about between $15,000 to $18,000 a month. And that is not a big amount. And the other area of concern is that a number of issues which we were told have not been approved. We are seeing that these issues have not even been discussed, and therefore you cannot say to us that they have not been approved. So these are all three areas of concern.
Member of the Catholic Fundraising Committee, Val Cuffey, has revealed that $3 million is still needed for the completion of the Rosa Roman Catholic Cathedral renovation project. The renovation of the cathedral began in 2004. Cuffey says, however, a better commitment from citizens in terms of doing more for the church is needed. He was addressing a press conference held at the Bishop Arnold Bogart Catholic Center Conference Room in Rosa on Thursday morning.
Work has been progressing. We are in a stage where we are excited but still need to be guarded by the fact that we have still a lot of money to raise to complete the project, and we need to start seeing a better commitment from our people in terms of doing what we can for church. Besides all the work that has to be done, we still have to get ourselves ready to get tiles, we have to get ready to get our sound system, to get our altar set up, to get our audiovisual equipment. We still have to get some lighting fixtures. We have to look at the gates. We have to look at other last-minute details, which you know takes a considerable amount of effort and funding to do the finishing touches. So that is where we're going to be needing to raise the extra $3 million that is needed to do that completion so we can have the cathedral ready. Dominica is celebrating 40 years of independence in 2018, which is a milestone. The cathedral is over 165 years in terms of the Diocese of Roseau. So we are in a celebratory mood, but we need Catholics to really come out and to really support the church. We're going to need $3 million. And I am asking the general public, I'm asking Catholics to come forward. We will be meeting in the private sector. We have discussed with central government ways and means how we can work with the private sector towards the getting some tax rebates. So when we come to you, the bishop, the team, we're looking forward to discussing with you how we can contribute and how we can get it back at the end of your annual returns.
Engineer Bernard Lurek gave an update on progress of works thus far.
The contractors, Ace Engineering Limited, are about halfway in their contract, which is called the roofing of the cathedral. The expected date of completion is February 3rd, 2018. The installation of the roofing system starts with a support system, then a waterproofing, and then metal roofing tiles. Right now, they almost completed 80% of the supports. From next week on, they will start with the roofing tiles, and more people will be put. So soon you will see some substantial change in the look of the cathedral roof. We had some additional problems when we uncovered the bell tower. We discovered that the timber was rotten, and it seems that the timber was the original timber from the 1800s. So therefore you notice now that there's no spire on top of the bell tower. To do this work, the contractor is asking for an additional 2 months work, which has to be reviewed by our engineers, CEP, Consulting Engineering Partnership. And then that would bring the completion date for the roof to March 15, 2018.
The fifth annual Water Operators Conference, organized by the Caribbean Water and Sewage Association, Inc., CAWASA, got underway in Dominica yesterday morning. The CAWASA Water Operators Conference, which is being held in collaboration of host utility, the Dominica Water and Sewage Company, DOWASCO, will include 36 participants from 13 countries throughout the Caribbean. The two-day conference is designed as a platform for water operators to discuss real issues and practical solutions, as well as cultivating innovations and inspiring synergies to address present and future challenges in the Caribbean's water and sewage sectors. The president of the Caribbean Water and Sewage Association, Inc., Christopher Husbands, says this conference provides a forum for essential networking among partners.
The conference presents an opportunity to inculcate WAP best practices among our operators. Of particular relevance to WAPs is the fact that partnerships are now recognized as effective mechanisms for learning. Our conference recognizes the place for face-to-face discussion as a way of building understanding of our aims as well as the opportunities it provides for us to share lessons from our work from one another. I encourage participants to meet, interact, make contacts, establish communications with one another, phone, WhatsApp, whatever method you want to use. Remember, it's our conference theme this year, Connecting Operators. That phone call you may be able to make in a situation to a pair in another island to get a bit of advice or get a bit of information may determine the weekend that you may have ahead of you.
Meantime, Husbands calls on operators to take advantage of training opportunities that are being made available.
I would like to reiterate the need for operators to seize the opportunities for personal development through continuous education and training programs. Continuous education targets improvement to your skills, safe work practices, supervision, and management skills. There's endless value in attending a training course, whether online or in person. You're presented with opportunities to meet and express your opinions and ideas and share experiences you have had in problem solving at work, as well as building networks and enhancing your technical knowledge. Cognizant of the challenges of mobilizing financial resources for continuous education and training, particularly the prohibitive cost of regional travel, ladies and gentlemen, we at CAWASA have pursued the option of using virtual platforms for training. In this regard, we've revamped our website, which is now includes a customized online training platform and an online suite of training materials. That's the first phase of our rollout. There's more to come.
The two-day conference is being held under the theme Connecting Water Operators, Strengthening Utilities. Individuals are being called upon to take advantage of the opportunities being offered at the Center of Excellence in Information Technology. That call came from the Director of Telecommunications, Bennett Thomas. He said the government has put measures in place to ensure that individuals are exposed to ICT centers.
We have our friends with us, our Indian friends. Mm-hmm. We have the Center of Excellence. The government is doing all what it can in trying to facilitate those services. So we are asking a person as much as possible to take advantage of those opportunities. There is the Center of Excellence, there is the State College. We are now going to integrate them. We are now trying to extend it to the remote areas and rural areas using the smart centers. We have persons who have graduated from the Center of Excellence. We are seeking over the next few months maybe to send some persons over to India. The Indian ambassador told us, yes, send them. Yes. We're going to train them as trainer of trainers so that when our Indian friends depart, we can now have them continue the program. We are putting certain management processes in place so that the centers remain, those smart centers are able to run properly and effectively. Mm. So but you have to develop the capacity. So we are doing that, and we are asking everybody, school children, the private sector, public sector, get involved, go to the center. It's very simple. It's only $50 registration, and the courses are free. So the government has done everything it can. It's now up to you.
General Manager of PDV Caribe, Henry Blanco, reports that the company's social contribution to the island over the years has exceeded EC $1.8 million. Speaking at the 12th anniversary of Petro-Caribe and Dominica Solidarity Service on Thursday, Blanco said the company has supported numerous programs in education, sports, and others focused on uplifting the lives of Dominicans. He went on to announce the successful launch of the company's LPG commercial program, which has increased sales by 16%. According to Blanco, despite the issues facing Venezuela, the country will continue to uphold its commitments to supply petroleum under the Petro-Caribe Agreement.
We also continue to assist education, sports, and other social programs focused on uplifting the lives of the people. Our total social patronage to date is above $1.8 million. I must also commend you and our customers, because our ability to continue to make social investment in Dominica is partly because of your support by purchasing Petro-Caribe products. Every time you purchase our cooking gas, for example, or buy fuel from us, you are investing in your country. So I am pleased to report the following. We have successfully launched our LPG commercial program, increasing sales by 16%. We have 71 LPG agents around Dominica, and we have developed a strategic partnership to ensure energy security in Dominica. We rose post-tropical storm Erica as a much stronger corporation, and we have on target in achieving our goals set in our 5-year strategic plan. I want to reassure the people of Dominica that every day Venezuela continues to export about 3 million barrels of hydrocarbon globally, so our commitment to supply petroleum products under the Petro-Caribe Agreement remains firm.
And Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrett has condemned the recent helicopter attack on Venezuela's Supreme Court. 4 grenades were dropped on the court and 15 shots fired at the Interior Ministry on Tuesday in what President Nicolas Maduro called a terrorist incident. Ex-policeman Oscar Perez said he had piloted the stolen helicopter to attack what he called a criminal government, and his whereabouts are unknown. Mr. Skerrett said that Dominica stands in solidarity with Venezuela. The Prime Minister was speaking at a ceremony to commemorate the 12th anniversary of the Petro-Caribe Agreement on Thursday.
And then for us to sit as a country, as a world, as global institutions, and not condemn violent actions is unbecoming of the world. Irrespective of who is perpetrating this violence, it must be condemned by us, all of us. And this has nothing to do with Petro-Caribe, it has nothing to do with Alba, it's simply a matter of principle. And terrorist act, whether they happen in Dominica, whether they happen in Venezuela, whether they happen in the United States, or in any kingdom, anywhere in the world, are terrorist acts. And we all have a responsibility and a duty to condemn it. When a police officer commandeers illegally a property of the state, in that case, a helicopter which is armed with grenades and firepower, military firepower, and sends off grenades at the Ministry of the Interior and also the courthouse, what else can we define to be an act of terrorism? The courthouse is sacrosanct in any nation that upholds democratic principles. So, Ambassador, we stand with you, and I'm saying to people in Dominica, not because of Petrocaribe or what Venezuela has provided Dominica tangibly. We do so because we understand what friendship is, we understand what solidarity is, and we do so as a matter of principle.
The Prime Minister said there is a growing tendency by political parties and individuals to resort to violence as a means of seeking to remove a government from office.
The government of Venezuela, led by President Nicolas Maduro, was elected by the people of Venezuela in accordance with the election laws of Venezuela and in accordance with the provisions of the Constitution of Venezuela. So which one of us in this world has the right to seek to want to remove the president of Venezuela from office? That is a matter for the Venezuelan people in accordance with the constitution of Venezuela and in accordance with the election laws of Venezuela. There is a growing tendency by political parties and individuals and organizations to believe that the best way to remove a legitimate government from office is through violent means. And we see it manifesting itself, attempts to manifest itself here in Dominica. That people believe that by any means necessary, they must remove a government. Understand this. To bring it into your own domestic understanding, you went to the bank and you bought a house. It is your home, it's your property. And somebody who has no right to this property, believes that they can come and pull your family out and put them off in the streets and take over your property.
In other news this afternoon, the Antigua and Barbuda cabinet says it has been informed that the Eastern Caribbean Supreme Court handed down a judgment on Wednesday in favor of former financial regulator Leroy King, granting leave for him to appeal an earlier high court judgment rejecting an application for judicial review of the 2012 decision by the government to approve his extradition to the United States. King, the former head of the Financial Services Regulatory Commission, FSRC, in Antigua and Barbuda, is wanted by U.S. authorities to face charges of facilitating the multi-billion-dollar Ponzi scheme by convicted former businessman Alan Stanford. In a 71-page decision in April, High Court Justice Dashana Ramdani said, having reviewed King's arguments, he saw no reason why either King's claim for constitutional relief against extradition or the application for leave should be allowed. And Simone Veil, a French politician, women's rights champion, and Holocaust survivor, has died at the age of 89. Best known in France for her instrumental role in legalizing abortion in the 1970s, she went on to serve as the first president of an elected European Parliament. Ms. Veil, a liberal, later re-entered French politics, returning to the cabinet in the 1990s. President Emmanuel Macron described her as inspiring and the best of France. And that's the midday news, but first a recap of our headlines. DPSU concerned that some of its members' requests are still not yet agreed to by the DLP government. Antigua Cabinet notes ECSC judgment on extradition of former financial regulator Leroy King to the United States. And Simone Veil, a French politician, women's rights champion, and Holocaust survivor, has died at the age of 89. The news is brought to you through the very kind compliments of Courts Dominica Limited and Fast Cash. I have been your presenter, Kimberly Benjamin.